overcoming obstacles. Overcoming obstacles. The book of Joshua, chapter 3. Now, let me just mention that we're not having communion this morning. I was all set to do it, and then God had laid on my heart a message called The Meal That Heals. And I'm going to be talking about communion and the healing aspect in communion. You know, one of the distinctives of our denomination is that we believe in divine healing. And others say that healing was not provided for in the atonement. I'm going to use scripture to show you that healing is provided for in the atonement. And so that is going to be Pentecost Sunday, May 15th. We're going to bring a message on healing. In fact, I've got some scriptures on the table here this morning that I would love for you to take and be reading over them the next couple of weeks. Scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're going to pray for people to be healed that day as we partake of communion. So be praying for that. In fact, I would encourage you to fast a couple of days for it as well. Pray and fast for God's healing. But take the scriptures and read them throughout the day, and let faith grow in your heart. And then we will come and share that the communion meal and pray for God's healing on May 15th. Also, things have kind of caught up to me quickly this year. I don't know why, but this Thursday, May 6th, is National Day of Prayer. I completely spaced it out. But I'm going to leave the church open that day if you would want to come and pray. If you want to find some others and come and pray that day, you're welcome to do that. But let's make sure that we spend a significant part of that day in prayer. All right, overcoming obstacles. We're going to read from Joshua, rather, chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Those three words are very important. If you underline in your Bible, go for it. Go after it. That's a key. And then verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. So they didn't know which way to go. And so Joshua said, put the ark out there in front, put it far enough out there so that everybody can see it and they can follow in the way that it goes. And he explains why when he says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You've not come this way before. Now we can certainly say we don't know what the future is going to bring. We haven't crossed this path before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. Now skip on down to verse 14. And we'll see what happens. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let's pray. Father, I'm sure that each of us have obstacles in our life, but Lord, you've commanded us to be overcomers, and Lord, you have already overcome. I pray today, Lord, that as we look to this scripture, that you would help us to see that we can overcome our obstacles as well. Lord, I pray that you would do a work, that you would perform miracles on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want God to do wonders for you. Tomorrow the Lord is going to do great things. I pray that it's even today. Here's the nation of Israel, right on the brink of blessing. But they're on the wrong side of the river. Somehow they have to get across that river. Beyond the river was a land of opportunity. But they must face that one final obstacle, the Jordan River. Normally, this wouldn't have presented much of a problem, since the Jordan was only about 100 feet wide at Gilgal where they crossed. However, it seems that God does things in such a way that nobody can boast. But he does things in such a way that we know that it's God. It has to be him. There's no other explanation for it. Because God brought them to the Jordan River at the time of harvest. Those who have been there during the harvest tell us that the Jordan widens to an impassable width of over a mile. It was over 50 times wider than it normally would have been when Israel arrived. So there is no way that they're going to be able to cross this river on their own. They needed God. They needed supernatural help to get across. You know, friends, we have our Jordans that we face from time to time, right? When we look out, we see obstacles that stand between us and our spiritual victory, that stand between us and God's promises, that stand between us and the abundant life that God wants us to live. And we're wondering, how can I enter into my Canaan land of victory? How can I enjoy the abundant blessings that God has for me when there is this obstacle that is bigger than I am, that is more powerful than I am? There's this obstacle that is standing between me and that victory. Well, I want you to know today that God specializes in overcoming the overwhelming. And God specializes in leading his children to victory. And so I want us to focus on this account of Israel and how they got past the Jordan. And I believe that what worked for them 3,000 years ago can work for us here this morning. That we can take and apply what they learned to our lives. There are three steps that we need to take. Number one, we need to examine a message. And this message involved a challenge. It came time for the people to move forward, to cross Jordan. God had a message that they needed to hear. And in the words that they heard, they were challenged to do three very important things. Three things that we need to do that I want to challenge you to do this morning as well. First of all, they had to watch God. They had to watch God because God would guide them through unknown places. He says in verse 3, when you see the ark, move, go after it. And he says in verse 4, he gives us the reason for this, is that we have not gone this way before. But the Ark of the Covenant is the key thing that is mentioned in this passage. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 10 times in this chapter. This is where the focus is. I would like to call the Ark of the Covenant God's treasure chest of blessing. The Ark looked like that. It was 5 feet by 2 feet by 4 feet. It had a golden slab on top of it. That slab was called the mercy seat. There were two angels, cherubim, were on either side. And in between those cherubim on the mercy seat, when this ark was in the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory of God fell. The glory of God rested upon this ark. To Israel, it represented God's presence. God's presence was in the midst of the people. In other words, when God moved, they moved. They stayed in his presence. When God stopped, they stopped. They stayed in his presence. Now, the ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ because the ark represents the presence of God. And Jesus said, my presence will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's who Jesus is. He is the one who sits on the mercy seat. He's the Ark of the Covenant. There's a valuable lesson here for you and me. When we meet times of crisis in our life, we need to learn how to move when God moves and stop when God stops. We need to be able to learn to flow with God. I believe that God wants to show us what he wants to do. I believe that God wants to show us what he's doing. So you have to watch him. You have to keep watching him day by day. When God moves, you move. And the reason for that is because you're going to go places you've never been before. And so you have to follow God. The second thing is that he will grant you these unfading promises. In verse 3, that ark is called the Ark of the what? Covenant. You know what a covenant is? It's a promise. It's an unfading promise, an unfailing promise. And again, Jesus is our Ark of the Covenant. When Jesus had that last meal with his disciples, he lifted up the cup, the bright red cup filled with the fruit of the vine, and he said, this cup is the new what? Covenant, New Testament in my blood. And so Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant of God. All the promises of God, Paul tells us, are yea and amen, yes and amen, in Christ Jesus. And now, because Jesus is with us and he's made us these promises, we need to realize these promises are good for all saints. They weren't just for Joshua. They are good for us today. These promises are good for all seasons. These promises are good for all situations. Look there in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I love that. God says, Joshua, don't worry. As I was with Moses, so also I'll be with you. The promises that I made didn't stop with Moses. The promises will continue with you. Your name, my name is such that I am the covenant-keeping God, and I will be with you as well. Now, don't think that somehow God blessed these people, God promised these people certain things, but won't keep God's promise or his covenant with you. Don't think that. He will. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We might as well quit arguing about it because it's already been settled in heaven. Listen to verse 90. Forever, O Lord, or thy faithfulness is unto some generations. All generations thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue how long? This day, according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Here's what he's saying. He's saying God's promises have been settled in heaven and are for all generations, even to this generation, even today. And if you want God to be real to you, what you need to do is keep your eyes on the Ark, who is Jesus, and he grants you the unfading promises through his presence. Now here's the next thing. He will guard you with unfailing power. And that's really the rest of the message. But the first thing you need to do is you need to watch God. You need to be looking at him. The second thing you need to do is follow God. There's something that was radical and dramatic that happened in the life of these people. They had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, remember? And now they're about to make a dramatic change. They're to go into the promised land. But something has happened. Something with the ark has happened. Now, they've always had the ark with them. They've been carrying it around in circles for nearly 40 years. But they never entered into the promised land. It wasn't the ark that made any difference, but it was the position of the ark. The ark was always with them. They surrounded the ark. But now the ark was to be out in front of them. The ark was to lead them. Not only should we have the presence of Jesus in our lives, and we do, because we are his children, but we need to let the ark lead us. We need to let Jesus be Lord, and we need to be following him. And we stay close enough behind him so that we can know which direction that he is going. The difference was not in possession. They possessed the ark. It's in position. The difference for us, too, is not in the possession of Christ, but it's the position that we give him in our life. Do we make him not only our Savior, but our Lord? Are we willing to say, Jesus, I will follow you. I will pursue you. I will go after you. I will leave my place to follow you. This might cause us to get out of our comfort zone. Israel was told to go after the ark. Where did the ark go? Into the waters. And then, so it's not always easy following God, but it's necessary and it's right. It's not always easy, but it'll be the best thing that you could ever do. If you want to get past your obstacles and find the life of blessing and joy and abundance, you have to follow God. The third thing was to honor God. These Israelites were told to stand at least 3,000 feet behind the ark. This was so that they could easily see what was happening ahead of them. I mean, sometimes you ever been so close to something, you have a hard time following. So they were to back up and see the way that which they were to go. But I think there's another reason here too. The Lord wanted only the Levites, the priestly tribe, near the ark, because you remember, to get too close to that ark and to touch it meant death. There must always be a holy reverence and fear of the Lord in our hearts. God help us that we don't allow a spirit of familiarity to cheapen our walk with the Lord. And so they had a healthy fear of the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God. I guess all these things really equate to walking in the Spirit. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. We need to not take a step unless we have our eyes on the Ark. And wherever the Ark goes, that's where I'm going. Wherever the Ark leads, that's where I'm going to follow. Because I know then that I'll have good success and victory. Really, you want to know what victory is? I can give it to you in a sentence. It's knowing which way God is going and joining him. Really, that's it. Following God and joining in whatever God is doing is victory. Verse 3 says, when you see the ark move, go after it. Just go after it. And going after it made the difference between 40 years of wilderness wandering and crossing into the land of promise. And maybe you're here and maybe you've been a Christian and you've been saved and you enjoy the presence of God. But could I challenge you to do something else? Could I challenge you to say, Jesus, I thank you that you're with me, but now I want to follow you. Would you be Lord of my life and let me follow you throughout life? This involved a command. Note next, the people were told in verse 5 to sanctify themselves. That means they were to make sure that they were as holy as and clean as possible. They were to put away anything displeasing to the Lord. And we need to do the same. And then it involved a commitment. And this message to the Israelites in verses 8 through 13 reminded them that getting across Jordan, I love this, getting across Jordan didn't rest on their shoulders, but rather it rested on God's. It was his plan and it was his power that was going to get them to overcome their obstacle. It's his problem. If you have a problem in life, and that problem has arisen because you've been following the Lord, that problem is not yours. That problem is the Lord's. And he will help you overcome. He will show himself alive in a powerful fashion. So God commits himself to bringing these people across the Jordan. All that was required of Israel was to obey, to trust and obey. And church, God is going to guard you through some uncharted places. Again, you've never been this way before. We don't know what the future holds. None of us do. We might walk in some unexpected territory. We don't know what the next 15 seconds is going to hold, really, because we've never been there before. We've never passed this way before. And so we need someone to guide us. I heard about some people one night who were out in a boat, a dark, stormy night. It was a creaky old ship, and the passengers were a little frightened. And so they sent an envoy to go talk to the captain to find out what their situation was. They went and talked to the captain. The captain said, Captain, the passengers are worried because this is an old ship and the night is dark and stormy. What is our condition? The captain said, I'm going to give it to you straight. He said, this is a leaky old ship and we may go down. But he said, I'll tell you something else. He said, the boilers on this ship are very weak. We may very well go up. But what he said was, whether we go up or down, we're going on. And friends, that's us. Whatever happens, we're going on, right? We may go down. We may lose our lives this year. Jesus might come and we might go up. But either way, we're going on with the Lord. Amen? We don't know what lies ahead. We've not passed this way before. And so we need to let the Lord guide us. We don't need to know where. You know, Abraham, he went, he followed God. He didn't know where he was going. God never told him. He just said, follow me. Because, you know, if God would have told Abraham where he was going, he would have put his eyes on the destination instead of God. And so God doesn't tell us everything about the future because he wants us to keep watching him. Wants us to keep looking to him. We don't need to know when. We don't know when God's going to move, when the ark's going to move. But I found this to be true in my life, that with God, timing is far more important than time. You remember Moses? He set out to be a missionary and became a murderer because he was not willing to wait for God's time. Abraham was promised a child, but Abraham was unwilling to wait for God's time. And he had Ishmael instead of Isaac. And it became a source of contention in Abraham's family that continues to this day. We don't even need to know why either. Because there are times I try to find out why, and it's great. We can ask God, and he may tell us. But even if he tells us, I don't know if we completely understand. Because God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Romans chapter 11, verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? So we need to hear a message this morning. Joshua says, the message is you need to follow the ark. And you need to look to the ark. You need to follow the ark. And then the second part of the message this morning, we need to expect a miracle. We need to expect a miracle. You know what the problem is, right? These flooding waters. How often we only see problems. God only sees solutions. We look at things and we say, there's no way. God looks at the problem and says, I have a plan. And there was a plan. And God said that when the feet of the priests enter Jordan, I'm going to part the waters and lead you through on dry ground. That took a step of faith because the waters did not roll back until the priests first stepped into them. Sometimes God will call us to do something that will be an act of faith. He'll cause us to step out in faith. And then when we step out in faith, he's there to bring his plan. He's there to make a miracle come to pass. God will require us to take steps of faith in order that we might see our Jordan parted, in order that we might see our obstacle overcome But it's never about what we can do. It's always about what God is able to do when we are exercising faith and show obedience. And then there was this performance, because when the priest stepped into the raging river, it parted. And God opened a path of dry ground through water for his people. By the way, it says that the waters backed up to the city of Adam. That was 20 miles north of where the children of Israel were crossing. God made a path, but God not only made a path through the water, he made a path that was so abundant and adequate that all of the people could go through. And I want you to know this today, church, that you have obstacles. I have obstacles. We have some really big things, things that are bigger than us. We have our Jordans, but God says that he has a plan. He has a plan to overcome our problem, our obstacle. And he says, I want you to just to watch me and put your faith and your trust in me and be obedient to me. And when I tell you to do something, do it. Step into the water, exercise faith, and you will see the miracle that I have planned for you. You will see how I can overwhelm that obstacle. We need to remember that faith honors God and God honors faith. And I want to encourage you this morning that the same God who did this for Israel is the same God that is here this morning. He is able all through the Bible, and he's still able today. And regardless of the circumstances, he's still God, and he can still do the miraculous. And so they needed a message. They needed a miracle. And the third thing, they needed to erect a memorial. And I'm not going to read it today, but if in the very next chapter, if you wanted to read the first 9 verses there, it talks about a memorial that was erected to remind the people of what God had done for them. When all the people had passed over, Joshua commanded one man from each of the 12 tribes to get a rock from the midst of the Jordan and build a memorial on the Canaan side. That memorial is worth looking at real briefly here this morning. The purpose of that memorial, the verses tell us that the purpose of this memorial was to remind successive generations of the power and faithfulness of God on behalf of his people. These memorials, these stones, would be a landmark to those who would come after them. And they would come and they'd see these stones, and maybe the children would say to their mom and dad, what means these stones? Or what do these stones mean? Why are these stones here? Let me tell you, son, these stones here today are a reminder of what God has done for us in the past. They are a reminder of the faithfulness of God. You see, we came to the Jordan River and it was flooded. There was no human way we could pass. But let me tell you, God had a plan. And when the Ark of the Covenant and the priest carrying it stepped into the waters rolled back all the way to the city of Adam, and we were able to walk through on dry ground. By some token, we need some memorials in our lives as well, and we need to remember the things that God has done for us so that we might tell our children someday, son, daughter, listen, you want to know what this is in our life for? It reminds us of the time that God did a miracle for us. It reminds us of a time when God is faithful to us. And you know, child, God is still as faithful today as he ever was. God does not change. Never forget what God has done in your yesterdays. It is those yesterday experiences that will tide you over when the trials of today and tomorrow arise in your life. But there are some pictures in this memorial. It's interesting to notice that Joshua constructed 2 memorials. Not just 1, but 2. One was on the bank of the river, and the other was in the river itself. And those 2 memorials served 2 different purposes. The first one, on the bank of the river, pictured the faithfulness of God. It was to remind them that what the Lord had done, he's able to do again. And again, we need to remember the faithfulness of God in the past, remind ourselves that what God did then, he's still able to do today. It will help us face our Jordans today. And then it's also it was a picture of the faithfulness of God. It's also a picture of the faith of the people. That's what that rock pile in the middle of the river represented. Now, when the waters rolled back, could anybody see that rock pile? One person could. God could. God saw the rock pile, and it stood as a reminder to God of the faithfulness of the people. You see, we might find some times in our life when we are tried and others are guilty of misjudging our motives and actions. However, God knows the truth of our heart. And even though Israel couldn't see it, they knew the monument was there. They remembered that they had believed God then and it had worked. And it became a monument in their hearts. And we need that kind of monument as well. When you have trusted Him and He's brought you through something, never forget it. Build that monument in your heart where only God can see it, and you will not forget it. And when the tough times come again, we look at the monuments of His faithfulness and our faith, and know that God will work again. God will bring you through your Jordan. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. Some of you are facing troubled waters. I want you to know you can cross over. I just invite you to come before the Lord this morning and tell Him about the Jordan you're facing and allow Him to get you past it today. There's a place of victory where you can shout in spite of your troubles. But the first step in getting there is dealing with what is keeping you out, your Jordan. Our Jordans can take on many different forms. Maybe some sin, might be some trial. Might be some person, but know this, that whatever it is, God is greater. Let Him take care of it for you this morning. By a raised hand, how many here say, Pastor, there is an obstacle in my life. There's something that I need to get victory over. Could God see your hand up and down? Amen, amen. Lord, I pray for these people today and the remainder of this service, Lord, that You would overcome these obstacles. And by faith, we step out and trust You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They're going to sing a song for us this morning. If you know the words, go ahead and follow along. They're going to sing it through a second time. By then, hopefully you'll know some of the words and know how it's going. And then we can join in and sing that time around.
In the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if He did. All authority, every victory is Yours. Father's plan. sending us out, light in this broken land. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name. You overcame. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
Just sing that with me this morning.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
One more time.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your
Do we have the words, Ryan? Do we have words? No, we don't. Okay. Here's what I'd like you to do. As they sing part of that song, you can pick up where you'd like. But I'd like you to come today. If you have an obstacle, you raise your hand before. Why don't you take a step of faith? God honors faith. Take a step of faith. Because I'd like to come and believe that the scripture said, tomorrow God will do wonders among you. That God will do wonders for you as you step out in faith and you commit yourself today to follow the ark, to follow the Lord's leading. And I want you to get a picture this morning. Remember the picture of the Ark of the Covenant I had up there? The two angels, two cherubim, one on this side, one on this side. Their wings touching there in the middle of the top of the mercy seat on the ark. You know that when Peter and John came to the empty tomb, do you know what they saw? They saw that slab where the body of Jesus lay, but he tells us that there were two angels there. You know where those two angels were? They were seated just like on the mercy seat. And Jesus was gone. Jesus had overcome. And he had showed and demonstrated the greatest obstacle could be overcome, and that was death. That's the kind of God we serve today. You can come to the mercy seat, and you can find the one who has overcome, and he is the one that also will help you overcome your Jordans, your obstacles. today. So why don't you stand? And if you'd like to come, just step out in faith and say, Lord, I'm just stepping up here today because I trust you. And I'm asking that, as Pastor prays, that I will see wonders in my life. Would you come? God bless you.